Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Hope you had a great weekend. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, it's kind of a sad commentary that this is the good martini today, not because it's not good news, but because this actually needed to be announced by the Treasury Department over the weekend. We talked about it in one of our all-crazy martinis from last Tuesday, that there was a push on the left to simply have the Treasury mint a trillion-dollar platinum coin and then just plunk that down on the table, and voila, our deficit for the year is simply gone. So the fact that a lot of different Democrats were getting on board with this, Chuck Schumer, Dianne Feinstein, a number of people in the Senate, finally over the weekend, some officials at Treasury officially announced that the White House is not going to do this because the law to mint platinum coins for collection purposes was not meant to pay down the debt or avoid the debt ceiling. So the fact that this appears to be nipped in the bud now is a good thing. Wish we never even had to have this conversation, but the fact that there's at least one rational mind over there at Treasury is good news for a Monday, I guess.
It really looks like the Federal Reserve is one of the groups that throw cold water on this idea. The idea that basically just because you generate the coin and assign it a value of $1 trillion does not mean that you have $1 trillion. And apparently, the Federal Reserve is where that coin was supposed to be, quote unquote, deposited. And basically, the Federal Reserve was not willing to recognize that as legitimate currency, legitimate value, legitimate actual, money. And there is kind of a sad undertinge to this martini, not so much because this is a good idea and we should hope to see it passed. But as my colleague Dan Foster put it, if Obama had gone through with this, it would have been sent a very clear message to the entire country, to the entire world, that he was back with the Choom gang. and he said it was politically, if Obama were to go through with this, it would mean their luck was as good in 2013 as it was as bad in 2012. Because it was an idea that I think struck most people as silly. And I think what you and I kind of marvel at, but what's kind of fantastic is that all kinds of economic topics can seem kind of obscure and abstract and try to get a head around. But this is effectively inflation. This is effectively just printing more money and asserting you have more money because you've printed more without actually having things of value, be it gold, be it economic strength, whatever you want, whatever you have of value to back up that currency. Minting a coin and saying, presto changeo, we have $1 trillion, is so nutty to people that people would say, oh my goodness, that can't be right. We have lunatics running the government. But if you do that on a smaller scale and just print more bills, that's basically the same thing, and it's one that is much less controversial and one that I think most of the public kind of, just glances over. They kind of figure that these sorts of things are being well managed by the Federal Reserve and the Department of Treasury, and, I think there's legitimate questions to be asked about that. So for no other reason, it was a really wonderful teaching moment for the country. I think it's also very interesting. It says that, as much as Paul Krugman had loved the idea, as much as a whole bunch of other Democrats liked the idea, once it became mocked by Jon Stewart, it became politically unworkable. And it's kind of fascinating, like Paul Krugman is apparently now like complaining and griping that Jon Stewart hasn't taken the idea seriously and didn't understand it. And all. I mean, Jon Stewart may be the man who saved America from the $1 trillion coin, for better or for worse, because obviously it's better for our economy that our government is not, waving magic wands to assert it's got more money than it does. It takes away what I was saying earlier, was kind of the most grand and vivid illustration bad monetary policy that we could possibly come up with.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a House Republican, Greg Walden of Oregon, who was set to lead the legislative effort, maybe still will, just to clarify it for folks in the future, to stop the Treasury from minting the $1 trillion coin. He also said that if you were to actually mint the coin and have enough weight of platinum to have it have $1 trillion worth of value, the coin would have to weigh 44 million pounds. And Jim, that's just a little awkward to carry around. So
it is. It is. It's the good news is tougher to lose between the cushions.
That's true. That's definitely true. All right. On to martini number two now. And we head to the Sunday morning chat show, specifically Meet the Press on NBC and former Secretary of State, former Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, retired General Colin Powell. On there with David Gregory. Powell, of course, a lifelong Republican, he says, until he decided to vote for Barack Obama in 2008, 2012. Says he still is a Republican. Couple of clips here. First of all, here's Powell's assessment of the last two presidential campaigns.
But in recent years, there's been a significant shift to the right And we have seen what that shift has produced to losing presidential campaigns.
And then he talked about how shifting demographics mean Republicans have to change.
And so when we see that in one more generation, the minorities of America, African Americans, Hispanic Americans, and Asian Americans will be the majority of the country, you can't go around saying we don't want to have a solid immigration policy. We're going to dismiss the 47%. We are going to make it hard for these minorities to vote, as they did in the last election. What did that produce? The court struck most of that down. Most importantly, it caused people to turn out and stand in line because these Republicans are trying to keep us from voting.
And then he went on to say there's a dark vein of intolerance within the party against minorities and so forth. So Jim apparently thinks John McCain and Mitt Romney are too far to the right. And if you want border security and folks to prove where they are when they vote, you're also too far to the right. I mean, those are valid positions for someone to hold, but there's usually a word for someone who holds those two positions. It's Democrat.
Yeah, it's we've seen this drift in Colin Powell for quite some time, and it'll be very interesting to see. Like, whenever Colin Powell asserts that he still sees himself as a Republican, I'd love to some interviewer to ask why. And I don't mean that in a snarky or sarcastic way. It's just that every time you hear him on these things, he is generally trashing the party that he still claims to be a member of. In the past few presidential elections, voted for President Obama and really has not been terribly critical of much that President Obama has done over the past 4 years, now going on five. And then he characterizes things like voter ID in terms of a very nasty negative way, saying they don't want minorities to vote. No. As long as you've got the ID, as long as you can prove you are who you say you are, no one on the right has any problem with you voting. But instead, he characterizes a deep vein of intolerance. I mean, that's basically blaming, asserting that racism is the heart of this whole thing. These are no holds barred, vicious criticisms of the party. And, we're used to hearing them from Debbie Wasserman Schultz or Nancy Pelosi or folks like that. But if Colin Powell really believes that in this party, why is he still in it? And I don't say that in a sense of, who needs you, Colin Powell? Go out. I'm sure, what do you like about the Republican Party, Colin Powell? There must be something because you keep insisting this. And the more he keeps insisting this and not ever articulating why he still feels like he's a Republican, the more it seems like he really loathes the party he used to be a part of. Not too recently ago, was the Secretary of State, and who basically just kind of wants to keep the Republican next to his name to make him a more high-profile critic of the party. I saw an interesting headline in the Washington Post this morning that Mike Bloomberg says he wants to change the Republican Party. Well, you left the party, Bloomberg. I left, so now you should change to please me. Well, no. If you really do have a problem with the party, you are more likely to influence it from the inside than from throwing a high-profile tantrum, leaving, and then wagging your finger and saying, here's what you have to do to change to win me back. Because really, even Colin Powell, the party is going to represent the opinion of its mass, of its most members, the folks who are most passionate, the folks who are most active, in effect, the folks who want it bad enough. And if your only contribution to the party is to periodically come out on these Sunday shows and talk about how bad the party is, you're not going to change anybody's mind. You're just telling David Gregory what he wants to hear. So as a guy who still has some residual respect for the fine service that Colin Powell has given to our country, I'd like him to be in a warm, happy place with the Republican Party, that he clearly isn't, but I don't really understand, other than becoming more like the Democrats, what he wants to see them do. This is a party that begged him to run for president both in 96 and 2000. This party with this deep vein of intolerance made him Secretary of State and confirmed him by, I believe, unanimously. It certainly isn't they've ever treated him badly. So I'm just kind of left curious as to what his examples were these comments by Sarah Palin from years back and this comment from this from John Sununu a couple months ago. Really, this is what's still, sticking in his craw? If he really wants this party to change, and he's got to get into it and start articulating the vision he wants to be other than Democrats light. And at this point, it doesn't look like Colin Powell wants to do that.
On to Martini number three now, Jim. And any time, of course, that there's pending legislation, any industry at that time simply just stops doing whatever it's doing and waits for Congress to come up with a decision. No, that's not how the world works, but it would be if Chuck Schumer gets its way when it comes to so-called assault weapons. In a statement released over the weekend, the New York senator says that retailers that sell assault weapons should stop offering them for purchase while Congress discusses gun regulation legislation. He wants a voluntary moratorium until this gets settled. So, Jim, I'm sure that everyone's going to comply with that.
I don't know about you. This certainly sounds like a threat, doesn't it? look, we're working on legislation to affect your industry. We want you to do something that we haven't banned, and we don't know if we have the votes to ban, but it sure as heck would be healthy for you to stop doing that until we decide whether it should be legal or not. This is effectively trying to get the effects of legislation without the pesky democratic process of actually voting on the legislation, gathering the votes, and having it signed into law. Now, having said that, Greg, it seems safe to say that right now Chuck Schumer holds the fate of Chuck Hagel in his hands. It's a Chuck situation. That basically Schumer is, for all of his flaws and all the areas we disagree with him, apparently a very staunch supporter of Israel, and apparently not particularly enamored of Chuck Hagel and the potential decisions he would make at the Defense Department. Schumer has been, let's say, very tight-lipped about the Hagel nomination. And he is, if you know Chuck Schumer, when he's not saying much, you wonder if he's, you know, feeling okay. It's been said the most dangerous place in Washington is in between Chuck Schumer and a television camera. Clearly, he understands the president wants Hagel very badly. He doesn't want to defy the president. But on the other hand, he also thinks Hagel, you know, he's got some very serious doubts and very serious concerns. So let's all kind of be nice to Chuck Schumer for the next couple of weeks. I know it's tough. I know we got to. But you know what, Senator Schumer? You're a grand statesman who clearly will give a great deal of careful consideration to Hagel. Your concerns are legitimate, and you should weigh those heavily. And who knows? Maybe if Chuck Schumer votes no, that'll give kind of a green light to a whole bunch of those other nine Democrats who are currently wavering on Hagel. So, you know, Greg, you asked me, do I have a problem with Schumer's statement here? Not now. Ask me in a few weeks. You know, he votes the wrong way on Hagel. It's open fire. It's, you know, let him have it. You know, he'll deserve all the criticism he gets. But for now, let's all hold off on Senator Schumer. Let's see if we can get that that key Hagel vote, and then we'll see how things stand.
A kumbaya olive branch moment from Jim Garrity. You don't get that too often on the Three Martini Lunch. What a way
it
to
is. And let me just kind of observe. By the way, all this goes on all over Washington. I'm the only person who just kind of openly, blatantly says it. You know, that I want X from Schumer. Thus, I'm willing to not be so harsh on why. So,
for now. Since he obviously has no ability to enforce his suggestion to these retailers, I don't think anybody's going to take it seriously. And it probably shows that he fears they're probably not going to pass the legislation. But obviously, we'll find out tomorrow when Joe Biden offers his recommendations to the president. Who knows if it'll be written in crayon. But either way, we'll find out what the vice president's come up with over the last couple of weeks.
Yay.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks so much for being with us. And don't forget to join us again on Tuesday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.